Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about these resources, please visit sbcconline.org. God bless you.
Can stand against us. Our God is with us. Emmanuel. We worship and we honor you for this wonderful plan of redemption. You didn't send an angel. You came yourself. You came yourself. We were that important to you. We're grateful. And you've made us to become like you. For this purpose, you came so that we might be conformed to your image. We're grateful. We worship you with all of our hearts. A total consecration to fulfill that purpose, so that in us you will see the travail of your soul and truly you will be satisfied. As we enter your word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, so I would speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. I ask further that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that the word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to the people. To do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray and ask that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy, to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their individual lives, agreed individually and said, amen. You may be seated. I have a very important message I have received from the Lord. I actually got it this morning. Usually I get my messages way ahead of time, but this one, you know, was given to me this morning with the instruction to deliver it. And it's such a simple message, but it's a profound one by the grace and the mercy of God that we're all going to need a working revelation of it, an application of it in our lives in the days, the months, the years that are ahead of us. It goes without saying that we are living in perilous times. The mask on your faith is the evidence, physical evidence. We've been saying it for years, but it is now, like they say in the world, the chickens have come home to roost. It's not coming, it's here. It's here. And you need this understanding and revelation now. Very simple. The title of the message is God Loves You. God loves you. And because of the perilous times in which we're living and the difficulties that attend these times and that come against us as Christians, it is vital you have a clear working revelation of the fact that God loves you. And that will see you through any storm. That understanding. This is what Paul had in mind when he spoke to us from Romans chapter 5. That's going to be my first text. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 2. Well, from verse 1 it says, therefore we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access. Everybody say access. By faith into this grace wherein we stand. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are standing in the grace of God. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, you don't have a glory yet, but you rejoice in the hope of it. Now, this glory of which we speak is twofold. There is the glory of the resurrection when Jesus comes back physically to take us, you know, and converts our bodies from mortal to immortality. But then there is a glory of inheriting the glory that Jesus himself walked in when he was here, as exemplified and started with a miracle in Cana of Galilee where he turned water to wine. The scripture is explicit. It says, this beginning of miracles Jesus did and manifested forth his glory. That glory is what we are to partake of in this lifetime now. Not just the glory of the resurrection. We'll get the resurrection too later. But now, we need this glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is our inheritance. It is what we are put on this earth for. See, Adam lost the glory in the Garden of Eden through sin. The Bible says, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. You know, being an electrical engineer by training, the minute I saw that scripture just clicked in me, short circuit, you know. Because what happened was that the connection between Adam and God was cut off. Immediately was cut off, the glory went off. But good news is, through Jesus Christ, the connection has been restored. Therefore, we should get the glory back. Are you listening to me? So he says, and not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because, now this is the key, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. I'm going to read this from one or two other translations. Let me read it from the Amplified firstly. It says, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. Turn to your neighbor and say, your hope for the glory of God, it's not going to shame you. It's not going to disappoint you. You're going to get it. Hello, somebody. Why did God put this in the Bible? I'll tell you the reason. And this is what he told me. When you look at yourself and you look at 2,000 years of Christian history, you do not see the experience of this glory of God of which we speak. So the natural human tendency is not to believe it. Or to believe, or to think that, well, you don't know. Maybe it will happen, maybe it won't happen. Maybe I will be disappointed. Maybe all this, you know, high expectation of the glory of God will not come to anything. It is for that reason the Holy Spirit has the Apostle Paul to record this truth, that this hope is not going to disappoint, it's not going to delude you, you're not going to be ashamed of your hope. And the thing that will make you know that that hope will not be disappointed is, watch this, a personal revelation of the fact that God loves you. A personal, and so here, what Paul and what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through Paul is that that hope that you have, this hope of glory, is the same thing he spoke about in Colossians chapter 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then to make sure you are not mistaking it as the resurrection and all, you know, the glory of the resurrection, he says, whom we teach every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Let's quickly jump to Colossians. We're going to jump back here in Romans in a minute, but let's quickly go there. Because you see, sadly and very regrettably, many Christians, whenever we talk about the hope, everybody's mind goes to the rapture, the glory, the hope of the glory. Everybody's mind goes to the rapture at the resurrection. I'm going to get the glory of God when Jesus comes back. And that is true. But what we're speaking about now is not the glory that is going to happen when Jesus comes. It's the glory that is available now. It's the same thing Jesus had to say to Martha and Mary when he went to raise Lazarus from the dead. The raising of Lazarus from the dead was the last major miracle he did before he was crucified. He'd been doing many, many miracles, but this one was in a class of its own. And like us today, you know, Mary and Martha were hesitant to believe it. In fact, they didn't. So when Jesus came and he said to them, your brother will rise again, they first of all started, were crying and said, look, if you had come earlier, all this complication wouldn't have happened. You had just healed him. They've seen Jesus heal hundreds, thousands of people. So they had no doubt in their mind that if Jesus had come and prayed for Lazarus, Lazarus would have been healed. But Jesus didn't come. He stayed where he was. And then he now comes after Lazarus had died and had been buried and had been put in the tomb for 4 days. Then he comes on the scene and he says, your brother shall rise again. And then naturally, Martha and Mary say, exactly like you and I, yeah, we know he's going to rise again on the last day. Jesus said, mm-mm. I am the resurrection and the life, not going to be. But you know the amazing thing, Pastor G, Mommy? At the time he was speaking, he had not yet been raised from the dead. What a quantum leap of faith. He hadn't been raised from the dead. He hadn't died yet. Yet, he was saying, I am, I'm not going to be. He was calling the things which are not as though they are. And that's the example we have to follow. And it's not an easy example to follow. Because most Christians are like Mary and Martha. Yeah. On the last day, I believe that. I believe the Bible. We're going to be raised from the dead. But for glory now, in this lifetime, today, no. That's a step too far. But what is going to bring you to that understanding and realization and faith and hope? Because faith is simply the substance of things hoped for. When hope becomes your trust in God, that hope now becomes a present reality. that you can experience now, it translates from hope to faith. So long as it is futuristic and something that's going to happen in, you know, in a few years' time or whenever, it's still hope. But when you concretize it and you put substance to it, then it becomes faith. And that substance is actually the creative power of God. The life and the power of God will now take what is hope in the future, create it, and bring it into the reality now. Then it goes from hope to faith. And the motivating factor that energizes that faith is love. The Bible says, faith worketh by love. A personal revelation of the fact that God loves you so much, He is going to give you that glory. That's what I want to talk to you about. Look at Romans. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5. We've looked at Colossians says, to whom God will make known this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man. This is not collective, now it's individual. Perfect in Christ Jesus. This is the hope every Christian should have. Sadly, most Christians don't have this hope. Most Christians don't believe that in this lifetime now that, you know, they can, you know, they can become perfect in Christ Jesus and inherit the glory Jesus himself walked in when he was here. Majority of Christians don't believe it. The best that they believe is they will go with the rapture. They can believe that because it's still in the future. But to believe that now, Christ in me, the hope of glory. But when you have an understanding of what I'm about to share with you, how much God loves you, that understanding of that love can motivate and should and will motivate you to move from hope to faith, so that that experience will become a present reality, like Jesus' experience of raising Lazarus. They put it off to the future. He will rise again. Jesus said, no, I've not even been raised from the dead. This will be paraphrased. I've not even been raised from the dead, but I'm telling you that now I am the resurrection and the life. Now take me to where you've laid him. Oh my God. Take me to where you've laid him. And man, it takes faith to do that. You know why? Jesus knew God would not disappoint him. Because he knew God loved him. You know what he said? He raised his eyes to the heavens and says, Father, I know that you hear me always. And I'm not saying it for the people, you know, for my sake, but because of the people, so that they will know you love me. Roll away the stone. Everybody got nervous. And if you were there, you would have been nervous too. Just like so many of us today are nervous at some of the things we preach. Yeah. Ah, Pastor Luby, don't go there. Don't go there. You know, this is just on the side. That is why most people are comfortable with the healing and prosperity message. That one, you can get it now. You can get that one now. You can get healing now. You can get prosperity now. You know, we've seen God, you know, heal us. We've seen God prosper us to some degree. Deliverance from evil spirit. Hey, that's comfortable. But glory! Don't go there. Don't go there. Has it ever been heard? Like the man said, he said, since the beginning of the world, the man who healed somebody who was born blind. The hour is coming and now is. When there's going to be a company of God's people that are going to do exactly what Jesus did. I believe it with all my heart. And I am motivated because I know God loves me. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I'm not talking about, you know, holding a stadium crusade like we do now. You know, we do, you know, print handbills, hold crusade. And there's nothing wrong with all of that. It all has its place, you know. And then, you know, we do maybe 100,000 people come and maybe, you know, 15, 20 people get healed. You know, maybe one person is blind, another person walks out of a wheel. Thank God, I'm not disparaging all of that. The Bible says we don't despise the day of small beginnings. But brother, that is not going to get this job done. If it was going to get it done, I've got it done. What we need now, like I preached some weeks ago, some months ago, are spiritual superconductors. People will get healed without you praying for them. Instantly. I'm not talking about headache. That will be there too. I'm talking about things like cleansing of lepers, withered hands, you know, growing out instantly. The dead raised after 4 days, like Lazarus. People in coffin, you open, you say, stop, open the coffin. Hello. You're nervous. I just felt those nervous vibes. Isn't that what Jesus did? You see, you look at 2,000 years of human history, you know, that's rare. You heard of people like Smith Wigglesworth, you know, even them, those guys, they some of them didn't get to that level. You know, old Wigglesworth had one situation where the man was inside the coffin and they were inside the church or in the funeral parlor, if I remember rightly. And Wigglesworth takes the body out and commands it to walk, but the body falls down 3 times. It took a lot of faith. Only somebody like Wigglesworth would try that, because most of all, by the time you do it the first time and the person doesn't wake up, you just close the coffin back. Hello, somebody. You know, you need to know God told you. That's what, in fact, that's what old Wigglesworth said. He said that when God tells you something, don't let the devil talk you out of it. And the third time, the man started walking. But again, it's rare. Most of the time, you know, when people, maybe somebody died and they haven't buried the person is still maybe about a few hours. Then they will call people like Wigglesworth. They will pray and the person will come back. John G. Lake. There have been cases like that, you know. And we thank God for all of that. But to deal with this generation, to deal with this perilous times, we have to make the quantum leap to where Jesus operated. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. And many times, even without praying, just like a woman with the issue of blood, people just touch you and they get healed. You go to a place, it's not a crusade, it's not an evangelistic meeting. You're just going about your normal daily business. It may be in the shop, it may be in the office, you know, and somebody just comes by you, you know, and they touch you and they just get healed instantly. Then I say, wow, what's going on here? And they come and tell you and you say, oh no, it's God who healed you, you know, and God loves you and everything. And while you are there, more people start coming. And virtue starts coming out of you and healing them all. How many people like that? Well, you got to know that God loves you. Now let's go to Romans chapter 5. Am I helping anybody here? Right. So in order to explain this, that's why he goes into this discourse between verses 5 and I believe it's verse 10. This is what Paul says. I'm going to read it and then I'm going to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, paraphrase it in simple English that you can understand. It's such a deep concept that, you know, the Holy Spirit had to use Paul to try and explain it because it's difficult for the human mind to grasp and to accept it. Grasping is not even so as difficult as accepting it. Most Christians this thing I'm telling you, they find difficult to accept because of the, you know, sin nature and the carnal mind. Now, he goes to explain. He says, that hope will not be disappointed. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Traditionally, over the years, we always interpret this as, you know, God puts his love in our hearts, which is true. It's not a wrong application. But if you keep it in its context, what Paul is actually saying is that the reason why that hope is not going to be disappointed is because God's love for you has been revealed to you in your heart. That's really what he's saying. Now, let's read on. He said, for means because. He's explaining how your thinking can come to accept the fact that God loves you so much as to give you his glory. And hear what he says. For when we were yet without strength, I didn't hear you. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But he ain't through yet. Verse 9. Much more then. Ever say much more then. Say it three times. Say it again. Say it again. I'm going to come back to it. Much more then. Being now justified or made righteous, put in right standing by the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Let me say it in simple English. Before you got born again, God loved you. John 3:16. A scripture every Christian knows or should know. For God so loved the world. You were in the world. You and I were in the world. He still loved us. And God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God loved me before I became a Christian. God loved me so much that he sent Jesus to come and die for me and give me eternal life. I thank God for that. But God is saying, my love didn't stop there. My love for you did not stop there. Now you are born again. My love for you is now much more. Glory to God. Woo! My love, much more then. When I was a sinner and I was an enemy, God showed his love for me by allowing his son to die in my stead and giving me eternal life. Now I am no longer his enemy. I am now his son. I am now a saint of God. The love that God has for me is greater than the love he had for me when I was in the world. That's why it says much more. This love that he now has for me goes now beyond just giving me eternal life to get me born again and take me to heaven. He is now ready to save me by the life of his son. He saved me as a sinner by the death of his son. He is now going to save me as a saint by the life of his son. Jesus is alive. He died 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. On a lonely cross in Jerusalem, in a place called Golgotha. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And he's still alive today. When he appeared to Paul on the Isle of Patmos, John, on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah! And I have the keys of death and hell. That is present truth. It was true 2,000 years ago. He's still alive today. He's alive now. Hallelujah. And he loves you. Rhoda, he loves you. Sarah, he loves you. Cardi, he loves you. William, he loves you. Boyga, he loves me. Olubi, why should I leave myself out? And all of us. I deliberately mention individual names. He doesn't just love the world. He loves you. It's revelational. The love of God has shed abroad in our... the Holy Spirit has to make it real to you. He loves you so much. He's praying for you every day. You see, you were saved as a sinner by his death, but you are being saved as a saint by his life. Ever living to make intercession, watch this, so you will inherit his glory. Glory to God. So you will inherit his glory. He doesn't just want you to just get eternal life and just go to heaven. He wants you to inherit his glory in this lifetime. And the love he has for you is so much. He wants to show that love by saving you by his life. You're already being saved. You're already born again. You already have eternal life. You're already a saint. But he now wants that eternal life to be made manifest in your mortal flesh. So that the glory that he had when he was here, the glory that turned water to wine in Cana of Galilee, the glory that made him walk on water, the glory that caused him to heal the woman with the issue of blood, the glory that raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, the glory that raised the son of the widow of Nain from the dead on the way to the funeral, on the way to the burial ground, the glory that raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days in the grave, that glory is your inheritance. And he loves you so much that he's going to use his life, not his death. His death was used to bring you in. His life is going to be used to glorify you. If you can receive it, receive it. That's what he's saying. I loved you enough that my death was able to save you when you were a sinner. But now you are my son and you are my daughter. Do you think I love you any less? No, much more. Much more. And it's not my death now that is going to bring you this glory. It's my life. I have decided to make you a partaker of my divine nature. My death that saved you when you were a sinner caused my life to come into your spirit. But my life, now that you are my son and you are my daughter and you are my saint, my life now will now cause that life not just to be in your spirit but in your physical body. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. That the life of God, that's why we're saved by his life. I know you're saved already, you're born again, that you're by his life in your spirit. But God wants to save you by his life in your mortal flesh, so that you can manifest his glory. And what is going to motivate you to move from hope to faith is a revelation of the fact that he loves you personally, much more than he loved you when you were a sinner. That is what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us. May God open our eyes. May you see. God loves you. You know, we're always, the church for hundreds and thousands of years has camped around Passover. Everything we talk and preach about is about being born again. We need to move. Thank God for that. That's a foundation. But what we're talking about now is beyond Passover. You find Christians, they're always talking about, you know, the new birth, getting born again, you know, and we go around that circle over and over and over and over again. When will you move northward? Are you going to stay just at, you know, the new birth and get eternal life in your spirit? Don't you want him to save you by his life? Don't you want the life of God to manifest in your mortal flesh? Don't you want to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out devils daily? You didn't get that. I didn't say occasionally, I said daily. Recently, I was reading my Bible, minding my own business. I'm talking to God. And I came to John chapter 20. And in verse 31, the Apostle John writes these words. He said, many other miracles did Jesus do that are not written inside this book. He said, but these ones we just told you, Lazarus, the woman with the issue of blood, he said, that we just gave you that so you can get born again. That you might have life through his name. And then, you know, using Jesus' name, I have life. He said, but that's not the end. Jesus wants you to do the same miracles he did, so that they will say of you that if all the miracles you did, some people are getting it. If they were written, the world will not contain the books. That's what he means when he says he wants to save you by his life. All we see in the four gospels is just a sample. It means, and Pastor G, look at this, mommy. He did miracles just for 3.5 years. Only 3.5. And the Bible tells us that if everything he did was written, the world would not contain the books. It must mean that it was a daily thing. So, they were so, John just, the ones he remembered, the Holy Spirit put him into remembrance of, say, okay, at least record these ones. There were so many. They are going to go and fetch water, miracle. They are coming back, miracles. There's walking on the road, miracles. But you see, what is to amaze you and blow your mind is that he's now saying, you're going to do the same. That is the quantum leap we must make in our thinking. Unlimited. No wonder why, you know, when Paul was writing this thing in Ephesians chapter 3, that Ephesian prayer, you know, where he, you know, there are two prayers in Ephesians. There was Ephesians chapter 1, which is the prayer for wisdom and revelation, so you will know this hope of his calling, the riches of the glory, his inheritance, and the exceeding greatness. Then Ephesians chapter 3 prayer. See, Ephesians chapter 1 prayer was for revelation. Ephesians chapter 3 prayer is for manifestation. I taught you about 9 months ago, you know, it was late last year, it will be almost a year now, you know, around December, when I, you know, over the years, I've known that Ephesians 3 prayer, but it was around that time God said, you've not been praying that prayer the same way you've been praying the Ephesians 1 prayer. You know why we have not been praying it? Unbelief. Unbelief is difficult for the human mind to embrace it. So we don't, you know, I've been a Christian for over 40 years now. I have never heard anybody teach that you should pray that prayer daily like we pray the Ephesians 1 prayer. Everybody prays the Ephesians 1 prayer. Nobody goes near the Ephesians 3 prayer. And the Ephesians 3 prayer is our purpose. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And because of the magnitude of the staggering nature of that revelation, Paul had to use the next verse to try and bring us along. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. He knew you're going to have a problem with your thinking. He knew we're going to have a problem with asking for it. So he now encourages you that it's above what you can ask or think, but God will do it according to the power that is at work inside you. I don't know if I'm igniting anything in anybody. God spoke to me. He said, the key is revelation that I love you. I love you like I love Jesus. John chapter 17. I don't know if I've helped anybody. I thought it's a very simple message. God loves you. See, but all our thinking about God loves us centers, it always circles around Passover. Newborn. God loves me. God also loves the world. You're no longer in the world. That's for the world. Before they get born again and when they get born again. But his love for us now far exceeds the love he had for us when we were in the world. It's now much more. Come on, guys. Take the quantum leap. The love he had for us now far exceeds the love he had for us before we got born again. He doesn't just love me now like he loved me when I was a sinner. He loves me now as his son. A son who is to inherit his glory here and now. John chapter 17. I think I'm helping one or two people. Of course it's from the Lord, darling. My wife said this word is from the Lord. Of course it's from the Lord. To the glory of God. I yet not I, but his grace. You know, God spoke to me. He said, go and give them this message. He first of all preached it to me. You see, when God preaches to me and I get high on my own message, then I know it's going to... Now, listen to this. Let's read from verse 20. Jesus is praying. This is Jesus's, they call it the high priestly prayer. This is the last prayer he prayed, you know, in Gethsemane before he was arrested that night. When he was arrested and then he was crucified the next day. It says here, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. If you are here this afternoon and you believed on Jesus through the word of these apostles, put up your hand. There is nobody on earth today who is a Christian who did not believe, who did not believe except through the word of these people. It's everything we know today about Jesus comes from the word of these people. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then the apostle Paul and all that. So this prayer covers every Christian. It's for you and it's for me. Now listen to what he said. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. See, people are struggling today with this unity concept. I've taught it. The Holy Spirit gave me revelation by the grace and his mercy of God. You know, once you understand these three things, unity becomes a simple thing. There's unity, ever say unity of the faith. And that's what happens when you get born again. It's Passover. It's Passover, what we call Passover. Passover just means, you know, Jesus is our Passover. So when we say Passover, we're talking about the born again experience. Immediately you get born again, automatically you have unity of the faith. You don't have to struggle for it, it's there. Because all of us believe in the same Jesus Christ. If you're born again, your faith isn't just so unity of the faith is automatic. The second unity is given to us by Pentecost. Unity of the Spirit. That's where tongues comes in. It is speaking in tongues that gives us unity in the Spirit with the endeavoring to keep the bond of peace so that the bond, the ligaments, you know, the bands and the ligaments, you know, the connections, the spiritual connections, there's nothing blocking them. Now, that's the problem with the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit is not automatic. You have to endeavor to keep it through what I preached some weeks ago, forgiveness. The constant cleansing of your connections with other Christians by the blood of Jesus. That it's amazing, darling, you know, that the first thing Jesus did on Easter Sunday evening, he was raised again from the dead very early in the morning on Easter Sunday. Mary Magdalene sees him. You know, Peter and James come, but they don't see him. They go back home. You know, women are more emotional and all of that. She was crying and everything. So Jesus, you know, to soothe her emotions, Jesus appears to her. You know, and he didn't know it was Jesus at first. He thought it was the gardener, you know. So he says, Mary. And immediately she recognized his voice. Been with him for 3 years, you know. He said, Rabboni. And she wants to come and embrace him, naturally, you know. And she's don't touch me. Can't touch me. You see, I'm ceremonial high priest. And I have to take my own blood into the heavenly holiest of holies and sprinkle it on the mercy seat to cover your past sins, present sins, and your future sins and seal your redemption. So you know what? He says, don't touch me. Don't touch me. So she goes back and said, go and tell them. Go and tell Peter and John and all the boys. Go and tell them, I've been raised from the dead. I'll see you guys in the evening. It will be translation, but very accurate. I'll see you in the evening. So he goes up to heaven and does all that ceremony in heaven. Another message for another day. Ah, when he got into heaven that day, it was serious. Thy throne, O God. Thy throne, O God. You see, he was God before. He had a throne in heaven before, but he left it to come to the earth, to come and die for us. So after he finished his assignment, that when he came back to heaven, all of heaven stood up at attention. Hallelujah. And they said, he was God. He's always been God. They said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the scepter of thy righteousness, the scepter of thy kingdom, the scepter of thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Sit at my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Oh, glory to God. That's what happened that morning. So when he finished his assignment in heaven, in the evening he comes back. They're all afraid. They didn't even believe Mary Magdalene. I saw him. He's raised from the dead. Come on, stop that nonsense. And you know that's the problem with women. Talk too much. No. He's raised from the dead. God raised from the dead. That's what it is. He said there were something like idle tales. The only person who believed was John. Because John went into the tomb. He saw the clothes. He said, this is Jesus style, man. This Jesus is raised. He knew. Because he was that close to Jesus. Peter was wondering. He wasn't doubting, but he was wondering. Like many of us. So they are all in the room. Jesus appears. Phew. See, he has flesh and bone. The spirit. He has this body that can operate in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm simultaneously. So just like your radio and mobile phone wave can go through the wall because it's operating at a frequency that causes the wall to look like a big gap. A little physics here. You see, you've got all kinds of things. All that wall now, you know, is made up of atoms and molecules and all that kind of thing. There, the width between them is such that to a light photon and particle that is operating at that level of speed, you know, it looks opaque. It looks open. So it can go through it. Now, you can't because you're too big, but the photon can. But did you hear the scripture that God is light? Oh, glory to God! God is light. Jesus is in his glorified body. So he moves up to that frequency. Amen. And goes through the door. Then he comes, as he passes through, he enters the place, he reconstitutes back to their own frequency so they can see him. So he looks at them. The first thing is he upbraids them for not believing Mary Magdalene. She told you, and I told her to tell you. He rebukes them for their unbelief. And they are so afraid. The carnal mind is terrible. Affrighted as though they are seeing a spirit. He said, chill. Olubi translation. Chill, it's me. It's me. See, the spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have. He said, oh yeah, come. You know? He said, give me a fish and a honeycomb. So he takes it. You know that they will believe that one. So he puts the fish into his mouth and puts a honeycomb and he chews it. He said, can you see it's me? Then he does something. Honey, watch this. He says, come near me. Only Thomas was not around. And of course, Judas had gone to kill himself. So the 11 and some of the other brethren. Then he breathes on them. Receive you. That's when they got born again. They didn't get born again on the day of Pentecost. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But they were born again on Easter Sunday evening. Go read your Bible properly. Are you listening to me? He breathes on them. And immediately breathes on them. He said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Then the next thing that comes out of his mouth, and this is the important part. He says, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained unto them. And whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. He gives them the power to be able to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the first thing he does. That's the first. He knows how important that thing is. That's the first thing he does. He gives them the power to maintain through forgiveness and the remission of sin. Through, watch this, the blood he had taken to heaven earlier in the morning had made it available to them. Glory to God! I just got another text. Listen to me. How do you think that 500, over the next 40 days, Jesus is teaching them? He comes, I don't know how many times he comes, you know, he just comes from heaven, you know, he will just come, he will teach them. He taught them from Joel. That's where Peter got that message from. He was behaving as if it was his own revelation, but it was not, you know. He teach them from Joel, Hosea, all the minor prophets. He began to open the scriptures to over a 40-day period, teaching them the things that they were supposed to do. And then, 40 days, after the 40 days, he takes them, he calls them out. They follow him to outside Jerusalem, and then he ascends to heaven. Then he gives them an instruction. He says, don't go anywhere yet. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which I told you about. He taught them a lot of things over the 40 days, you know. So they go, you know. It's actually a 10-day wait between Ascension and Pentecost. But some people couldn't wait. But that's not my message today. So as he's, you know, over that 10 days, what he told them, watch this. What he told them, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. That was how they were able to stay in one accord. Including the Holy Mother and his brothers, who didn't believe when he was around. They had arguments. Oh, no, no. Forgive him, forgive him, forgive him. So they were all in one accord. And then on the day of Pentecost, suddenly, oh gosh, so Pentecost gives us the unity of the Spirit. The beauty of it now is because we speak in tongues. Once there is no block of sin and we forgive each other, the unity of the Spirit is automatic. You know why? The utterance doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from you. When mommy is praying in tongues, and I'm praying in tongues, and Brother William is praying in tongues, Sister Rhoda is praying in tongues, all those tongues are in harmony. They have to be, because they don't, it's not Olubi who is praying, it's not William who is praying, it's not Rhoda who is praying, it's not Sarah who is praying, it's the Holy Ghost that is praying. It's automatic. The only thing that hinders it is when there is unforgiveness, attitudes that have not been repented of. Because once the channels between the people is open, unity of the Spirit is there. And that's why God maintains the unity of the Spirit through praying in tongues. You can start praying from your head, you can pray your own, I can pray my own. But what's his tongues? Hallelujah. And then the third one is the unity of knowledge. And that's the one this one is going to bring. Tabernacles. That's why you have three feasts. And they correspond to the three unities. Passover gives the unity of the faith. Pentecost gives the unity of the Spirit. And Tabernacles will give the unity of knowledge. That one is still down the road. We're going to see it shortly as the glory comes. And so, Jesus tells us, John 17, am I helping anybody? And so he says, that they all may be one, That's where it took off from. That thou art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe. Unity, because, you know, what that means is this. You see, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am in Christ. My wife is in Christ. Professor Lokwade is in Christ. Pastor Goiga is in Christ. Sister Ruda is in Christ. Yeah. So the same Zoe that is inside God the Father is inside me. But it's the same Zoe that is inside the Holy Spirit. It's the same Zoe that is inside the Lord Jesus Christ. So once we are interconnected, we are one. We are one like the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. The same life that is in the Father is the one that is inside the Son. It's the same one that's inside the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't stop there. So he now says in verse 22, and this is the verse 22 and 23 is the bottom line. It says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now this is where we have to key our faith in. He's not talking only about the glory of the resurrection. He's talking about the glory of turning water to wine. The glory of raising Lazarus from the dead. So he said, the glory, and I'm going to prove it to you, which thou gavest me, I have given them. Them who? Turn to your neighbor and say, them who? Them that believe on them through the word of these 12 apostles. That includes you and me. Turn to your neighbor and say, your name is there. You're one of the them. Are you listening to me? So he now says, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So he's moving to a higher level of unity. He already said in verse 22 that they may be their one. That's unity of faith, unity of the Spirit. He now wants to move us to the unity of knowledge. So he says, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. They were one before, but I want to make it perfect. Glory to God. Another translation of that word perfect is complete. I want the unity to now to be complete. Not just unity of the faith, not just unity of the Spirit, but also unity of knowledge. You see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 1, verse 10. You know, chapter 1, verse 10. Paul was writing this to the Corinthians. They were not there yet, but this was God's intention. He said that you have that you be one mind, that you speak the same thing, having the, watch this, the same mind and the same judgment. In other words, if I look at a situation and I give an opinion, and you look at the same situation and give the same opinion, we will be exactly the same thing. In other words, the way I think is the way you think. Why? Because it's the way God thinks. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're not there yet. You know, most Christians, take any 10 Christians, even husband and wife, they don't have the same mind and same judgment on some things. But the more we renew our minds, and the more we have the mind of Christ, we are going to start saying the same thing, the same mind, the same judgment. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody. That it may be perfect in one, that the world may know. What is the purpose of the glory? Observe, very interesting observation here, that this glory has to happen while they are still in the world, or else how can the world know? So he's not talking about the glory of the resurrection. He's talking about the glory of now. Watch this. That the world may know. I like this. It's a little bit different from what he said earlier on. He said that the world may believe. See, you believe when you see some evidence of something invisible that you have not yet seen. That's why believing comes in. But you know when something is manifest. That's why it's called the manifestation of the sons of God. When it is manifest, you don't believe anymore. You now know. You see, I don't believe I have a nose. Are you listening to me? I don't believe I speak in tongues. I know. But because I've experienced it. But what I've not yet experienced, but it's promised in the word of God, I still am believing. But what is now manifest, I move from believing to knowing. Are you listening to me? Okay. Now, closing. I'm going to close this scripture and two other scriptures and then we're done. He says, that the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved. Read that scripture if you can believe it. Everybody, I want you to read it. The reason why I'm giving you this glory is so that the world will know you have sent me and you have loved them as you have loved me. Turn to your neighbor and say, can you believe that God loves you like he loved Jesus Christ? And that is why he is giving you the same glory he gave Jesus. Give the Lord a clap offering. When you have a revelation of the fact that God loves you like he loves Jesus, you will not find it difficult to believe that God will give you his glory. The reason why a lot of us don't believe, we do not know. That's why God, Paul said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. There was a love he gave before when we were sinners, but now much more, we're going to be saved by his life. He loves me like he loved Jesus. So he's going to give me the same glory he gave Jesus. So I'm going to raise the dead too. I'm going to turn water to wine too. I'm going to walk on water too when it's necessary. Are you listening to me? Now, how do we do this? We're going to close. John chapter 14. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you, but I preach me happy. Verses 21, 22, and 23. And that's it. So, he that hath my commandment. How do you develop this love? How do you come to know this love that God loves you with? Listen to what he said. These are not my words. These are Jesus' words. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, watch this, shall be what? Loved of my Father. And I will love him. Didn't he love you before? He did. He's moving the love up. He's much more now. He loved you before. Even when you were a sinner, he loved you. But he said, if you learn to keep my commandments, what's going to happen is that you're going to see more of my love. You're going to see more of the Father's love. Are you listening to me? And I will what? Everybody scream it. Manifest. Isn't that where we're going? The life of God made manifest in the mortal flesh. If you keep loving, if you keep increasing your love, that's, you see, all those prayers God gave me. And you find in recent weeks, I tweaked them and put more, 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 more. It's this revelation. More, more, more love. More, more, more. Because you see, I recognize that the love is growing. It's increasing. When it gets to a crescendo, it gets to a critical threshold point where it comes to where God's love for me gets so much manifest. Verse 22. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, how is it that you manifest yourself unto her? Just answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will what? Keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, who is we? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We will come unto him and will make our what? Permanent dwelling place. They will go around 24/7 with our manifest presence. Stand to your feet. 24/7. We will come and make palm. So just like he was with Jesus. See, Jesus had the presence of God permanently. That's why this one will come. Hey, you can heal me if you will. Say, I will. The glory was there. Are you listening to me? Anytime, you know, the woman with the issue of blood touches him, virtue goes out. He goes, you know, in the multitude. He says, virtue went out of him and healed them all. Why? The abode was with him. This is the true full meaning of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Because he has made the Lord his refuge and the Holy One his habitation. That's where we're going. We have some of it to a degree, but we have to step it up. Let's talk to God. You are the peace that guards
my heart, my help in time of need.
You are the hope. That's it.
You are the hope
that leads
that
me on
lifts me up
and brings me to my knees. For here, I find you. I will make my abode with them.
And here I find relief.
So with all my heart,
so with all my heart,
I worship. And unto you,
and unto you,
I sing. Lord, you alone deserve all glory.
Hallelujah.
Lord, you alone deserve all praise.
Father,
we worship and adore you. Father, we long to see your face.
Lord, you alone
deserve all glory.
Lord,
you alone deserve all praise.
Father, we love you.
Father, we love you.
That's it, brethren. That's the key.
And we worship you this day.
You are the peace. Sing it, sister.
You are the peace.
You are the peace that guards my heart, my help in time of need.
Hallelujah.
You are the hope.
You are the hope that leads me on.
And brings me to my knees.
And brings me to my knees.
This one would make me sweat.
For here I find you waiting, and here I find relief.
So with all my heart,
I worship
to you,
and unto you I say,
for you alone
deserve all glory.
Lord,
you alone deserve all praise.
Father,
we worship and adore you.
Father,
we long to see your face.
Lord,
you alone deserve all glory.
Lord,
you alone deserve all praise.
Father, we love you.
Yes, we love you.
And we worship you this day.
Father, we love you.
Father, we love you.
Sing it, sing it.
And we worship you.
Father, we love you.
Father, we love you.
Father, we love you.
Yes, we love you.
And we worship.
Hand on your heart, raise your other hand. Simple prayer, folks. Say, Father, I thank you for your word and a fresh revelation of how much you really love me. You didn't just love me as a sinner just to get me born again. You love me so that I can become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a child, but a son, a manifested son. Father, I repent of unbelief, ignorance, lack of understanding. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus and more life and power in sufficient measure as I pray now. Father, give me a fresh revelation a clearer revelation of how much you love me. That you love me now much more than you loved me when you saved me, when I was a sinner. And now that I am your son, give me understanding, a revelation that you love me much more and you're going to save me. You're already saving me by your life to be made manifest in my mortal flesh through the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ on my behalf. Your word says, He ever liveth to make intercession, saving to the uttermost those who come unto God by Him. I understand that better now. Lord, 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 let me understand and use this revelation of your love for me to inherit your glory so that the world will know. We will preach this gospel of the kingdom unto every tribe, tongue, and kindred, and then we can come home to come and meet you. In Jesus' name. Nika shele proto frenenga. Ne priyika tuske frenenges. Mercy, Lord. Rika tuske frenenga doloma shangito frenes. Mercy, Father, thank you. Rabba doloma shelengito frenes. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Rananze gede gishko frenes. Lord Holy Spirit, we thank you. Ranish to fre. Lombridik lama toloma sheker to fre. Rama to fre. Lombridika mosheliki koko frene. Sa. Ningar dolomo tolomo shelebika to frenengera. Sa. Nikatoro zelibra. Rama tolomo to frenengitos. Lingar dolomo sheli. Ram. Stufrene. Romo stufrenengas. In Jesus' name. Mommy. We're going to close service. This is not the kind of message you can just mull over. You need to go, you know, we used to say tape. We don't get tape anymore. We get the audio. Listen to it when you're going home. Listen to it again tonight. Listen to it again tomorrow. So God loves me. I knew He loved me before. So God loves me like He loves Jesus. And it is that love that is pushing Him to give me His glory. That's what He's saying. See, you can't understand inheriting the glory if you can't understand the love. How am I sure it's going to happen? Because I know He loves me. Amen. 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 His love for me far transcends my weaknesses, my infirmities. He loves me. Even when I was a sinner, He loved me. Now that I'm a saint, He's going to love me less. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.